Welcome back, everyone, to 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. This is your host, John Hagedorn. Today, two episodes of Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Enjoy.
Portions of the following program are transcribed. Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Is this the Diamond Detective Agency?
Well, what does the sign on the door say?
Diamond Detective Agency.
And take a guess.
Are you Mr. Richard Diamond?
It depends. How much does he owe you?
Nothing.
You just want to speak to him?
I do.
You come as a client?
Yes, I do.
You have $100 a day in expenses?
Yeah, I do.
Then I now pronounce this man and client. Your name, please?
My name's Thomas Jason.
The stockbroker? You better pay cash.
Oh, I'm retired now, Mr. Diamond. And to end this nonsense, here's your $100.
Oh, thank you. Now, what's your trouble?
It's Carol, my adopted daughter. We adopted her when she was 12, but my wife died shortly after. Frankly, Carol has been trouble ever since.
And now?
Now, I'm afraid it is no longer a matter of delinquency. There have been several incidents that make me suspect that she's trying to do away with me.
Oh, sweet girl. What's her reason?
My money. In my will, she is my only heir.
Why not change the will?
I said I suspected her, but I'm not certain, Mr. Diamond. And you understand, it would be terrible to disinherit her if I am wrong about my suspicions. I simply must be sure before I change my will.
She have any idea of your suspicion?
Yes. This morning I did speak to her, mentioned the possibility of cutting her from my will. She flew into a rage, made several terrible threats.
Oh, what do you want me to do?
I want you to...
Oh, excuse me. Diamond Detective Agency, we have the only corpse with the lie-down design.
Oh, Rick, why don't you answer the phone right?
Okay, Helen, baby. Diamond Detective Agency, Mr. Richard Diamond speaking.
What?
See, it throws you.
Mr. Diamond.
Honey, I'll see you tonight. I got a client.
She?
He.
Good.
Bye. You were saying, Mr. Jason, before I was so nicely interrupted.
Yes, I want you to either prove my fears to be true or groundless. If I am right, I will change my will, of course.
Where do I start?
Come to my house at 3 this afternoon. Here's the address. I'll introduce you to my stepdaughter, Carol, as a business acquaintance. After you've met and talked with her, I'll give you what details I have about her threats and actions.
Okay, Mr. Jason, I'll be at your place at 3 this afternoon.
Good day, Mr. Diamond.
I checked the time and found it to be nearly 12, so I beat it out to grab a bite of food before the noon rush began. Cafes in downtown Manhattan at lunchtime can only be compared to a can of sardines after all their relatives move in. When I had downed my daily bread, I went back to the office, did a little washing, and found myself with still time to kill. So being interested in my new client's problems and always liking a clear view of a new case, I dropped in at the 5th Precinct to see what Lieutenant Levinson had on the Jason family. When I walked into the squad room, I found Sergeant Otis tilted back in his chair with his number 14s crossed on the desk in front of him. From the sounds he was making, he was either sleeping or gargling with molasses. Sergeant Otis.
Oh, boy.
Sergeant Otis.
Sometime.
Otis, wake up.
Oh, it's you, Shamus.
Patrol Leader Diamond with his stout-hearted brownies who are shocked by your dreams. Shame on you.
Hey, how'd you know I was dreaming about a dame?
I peeked. You know, I think I'll tell the lieutenant that you were sleeping on the job.
No, please don't do that, Shamus. You start me pounding the beat again. Please don't tell him.
Well, maybe I'll let you off the hook, but only if you tell Walt we're pals. That might stop him from giving me the devil about ribbing you.
Pals? You mean friends?
Buddies.
Oh, no, I couldn't stand it.
Hello, Walt.
Okay, so where's the body?
No body. You lost one?
Now you stop that.
Well, get you. All mad because I can't find a body for you.
Now, please, Rick, what do you want?
I just wanted any dope you might have on the Thomas Jason family.
Jason?
Yeah, the broker.
Oh, nothing on him, but plenty on his stepdaughter, Carol.
Like what?
Oh, she's a regular. Usually D&D, drunk driving, disturbing the peace. You want to see the file?
Yeah, I might be worth a look. Have my pal, Otis, bring it in.
Sure,
Your what?
My pal. What did you know? Otis and I are friends.
Is that why he tries to hide under the desk every time he sees you coming?
Call him in, see for yourself.
You think I won't? Otis, get the file on Carol Jason. Bring it in here.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Now we'll see. Friend, that's a laugh.
It's a laugh yourself. You better be feeling good.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
You'll see.
Lieutenant, here's the file.
I'll take it, Otis. Thank you very much.
Sergeant Otis, you have an opportunity to do me a great favor. Please, and without profanity, tell me what you think of Rick.
Oh, he's nice.
What?
You're turning blue, Walt.
I'll turn blue if I want to. What did you do to Otis? Dope him?
You heard him. He thinks I'm nice. We're pals, buddies.
I heard him all right, but I wouldn't believe it on a stack of police manuals. Otis, I'll give you one chance. What's this all about?
The shamus told you, Lieutenant. I think he's a swell, like a great guy.
Thank you, Otis, my friend.
Always kidding, but a good pal.
Otis, do your feet ache?
My feet? Why, no, Lieutenant.
Well, they will. I'm sending you to a beat.
A beat?
Yes, in Yonkers.
Oh, no!
I went through the file on Carol Jason and found out Walt hadn't been kidding. She'd been picked up for everything from kicking dogs to slugging her boyfriend with a champagne bottle. Real nice girl. I left Walt trying to third degree the truth out of Otis and headed for what I hoped would be a nice, easy case. In a few minutes, I was in front of my client, Jason's house on East 66th Street. It turned out to be a modest little shack of some 30 rooms with a brownstone cover. I was ushered in to wait in the library for Thomas Jason, but I got a surprise.
Mr. Diamond?
Well, now, I'll bet you're Carol. Your stepfather's told me so much about you.
You're a friend of my stepfather's?
Well, you might say we have things in common. Where is he?
I'm afraid you can't see him, Mr. Diamond. You see, he's become quite ill.
Oh, ill so quickly? I talked to him a few hours ago. He's about as sickly as Paul Bunyan.
Mr. Diamond, will you please leave?
Not until you tell me what happened to Jason, where he is, and why I can't see him.
Get out. Do you hear me? Get out.
Oh, put a cork in it, honey. Your father suspected trouble. Apparently, it came quicker than he thought. Me, I want to know all your little secrets.
Just who are you? Policeman?
Private policeman, dear. Your father hired me this morning.
Well, I'm firing you this afternoon. Father's ill, and I will not allow him to be disturbed.
He paid me for a day's work. Tomorrow you can fire me. Is he here?
No. Now, will you get out, or do I call the real police?
No, maybe you'd better, dear. There's a smell around here that isn't a room full of roses.
All right. If it's going to save trouble, I will tell you this much. Father had a serious mental condition. This afternoon, a couple of hours ago, he had an attack. And I was forced to have him taken to a place where he could be treated properly.
With what? Embalming fluid?
Why, you insulting...
Where was he taken? Who's the doctor?
I think I've answered all the questions I need to, Mr. Diamond. My actions are entirely legal. If you persist in your insinuations, I shall see that your license is revoked and that you are charged with defamation of character.
Oh, get you. You've been reading up on the law, and I'll bet I know why. All right, dear. I'll leave now.
Go on, and don't come back.
Temper, temper, temper. I'm going, but we'll see each other again. Hello, Pop. Got a minute?
Yeah, I reckon so, mister. What's on your mind?
Old questions. Like how long you've been out here mowing the lawn?
Most of the day. Why?
Did you, see Mr. Jason leave?
Well, sure. Left in an ambulance, he did. He was wearing a funny white coat with the arms tied in back. My fashion certainly changed.
You didn't notice any name on the ambulance, did you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did, mister. It was a silly name. About the silliest I've ever heard of.
Oh, the name, Pop. What was it?
Oh, don't be in such a dang rush. It was Home Sweet Home Rest Home. Oh, no. Ain't that silly?
I don't think my client agrees with you. If he was taken there for a rest, it may be a permanent one. Next stop, a drugstore with a phone book. Said book gave me the address, and I was soon in Baychester looking at something pretty swank in the way of nut houses. Home Sweet Home was 2 acres of lawn, trees, and a square white blockhouse, and all surrounded by 15 feet of spiked steel fencing. By this time, the setup was really beginning to smell, and I decided that maybe a shamus might not be welcome. So for a moment, I stood by the big gate debating how I could get in. The answer was fairly simple. I rang the bell. It caused a huge character wearing a white jacket with arms like hairy telephone poles to appear.
Yeah? What can I do for you, mister?
Let me in.
Why?
This is a rest home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I want to rest.
Oh, funny. Beat it.
I want to speak to the doctor, King Kong. Is he in?
Maybe, maybe not. Who wants him?
I do.
Who are you?
Let's just say I'm a patient. You going to keep me out here dying of schizophrenia?
Dr. Thorne is busy now. Come back later.
Look, in 1 minute I start throwing fits. Think how that'll ruin your trade.
Yeah, the doc wouldn't like that. Maybe you had better come in.
Now, that's right neighborly of you, friend. Wow. Nice place.
For nuts?
Please. I'm a patient, remember?
So, if you're a nut, I should care. If you ain't, why should you?
Now, that's a homely bit of philosophy. Tell me, what do you do here, break skulls?
I don't think I like you. And I'm a nurse.
What a shock this will be to Dr. Kildare.
I don't know him.
Now, you wouldn't. His nurses are pretty. If he had to have you as a nurse, he'd quit medicine and take up playing the glockenspiel.
Kelly, you're nuts. Wait here. I get the doctor.
Yes, nurse.
Dr. Thorne, you got a patient, I think.
All right, Brazo. I am Dr. Thorne, sir. What can I do for you?
He's nuts, Doc.
Be quiet, Brazo.
Oh, he's right, Doc. I'm nuttier than a squirrel's hideout.
Well, I'm afraid I can be of no assistance, Mr.
Promise you won't tell?
Did I promise?
I am Sherlock Holmes.
What?
H-O-L.
I can spell. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place, Mr. Holmes. This is a private sanitarium, and certain procedures must be followed.
I have money I can pay, and I want to stay here.
But, Mr. Holmes, you must be examined by a doctor and committed by a relative.
You're a doctor. Examine me.
But your relatives. You can't commit yourself.
Why not? I demand my rights.
Oh, this is preposterous. This is not a hotel. You can't just come in and register. Tell me, who's your doctor? Where is your home?
Well, look. Tell you what, you let me stay here for the day, and I'll tell you who my doctor is. And if you don't let me stay, I'll tell everyone what a bad place you have.
You said something about having money. Just how much money?
I've got a mattress full. Can I stay?
Perhaps it can be arranged, though of course I must examine you.
Of course.
And there will be a certain fee, you understand?
I'm beginning to.
Tell me, Mr.
H-O-L.
Stop! Certainly are most annoying. Tell me, why do you want to stay here anyway?
Well, I've got to stop the plot.
The plot? You know about that?
Sure. You planned to rub out Fearless Fosdick, but I'm not going to let you.
Oh, I see. Tell me, do you have any dreams?
Well, of course. I have dreams about eating ice cream cones, and oh, what a mess they are.
What's so messy about eating an ice cream cone?
My mouth is always filled with BBs.
BBs?
For my air rifle, stupid. How else could I stand off the Indians?
What Indians?
Well, the Indians who want to steal my ice cream cones.
Now, why would Indians want your ice cream cones?
Oh, they're mad about pistachio.
You are crazy, aren't you? Brazo, take Mr.
H-O-L.
Oh, never mind. Take him to Observation Room B, Brazo. I don't have time for the examination now.
Can't I be with the other patients? I get lonely.
Later.
Come on, Sherlock. This way.
Well, I was in, thanks to the good doctor not being able to pass up a possible easy buck. The big ape Brazo led me to a small room with bars on the window and a spring lock on the door. When he left, I made like a smart gumshoe and went after the lock with my penknife. Due to my early training in picking locks at the automat, I was out like Alabama. I found myself in a long hall with 7 rooms, 3 on each side and 1 at the end. I knocked on every door. Nothing. Not even Bogart. The last one had to be Jason. Are you in there, Mr. Jason?
Diamond. Oh, I am glad to hear your voice. Please, get me out of here.
Just take it easy. I don't have a key, and this door has a padlock on it.
But you must get me out.
Sure, but give me time.
First, tell me what's the score. Why did they lock you up?
Carol had it planned. She has paid Dr. Thorne to keep me here until I go crazy. She wants to have me judged legally insane so she can take the estate.
Yeah, well, maybe I can put a few kinks in her plan.
Wait, Diamond, where are you going?
There's a phone in the doctor's office. If no one's there, I'll use it to get help.
Yes, but what if you can't get to the phone?
Then I go out and get the Marines. If I can get by that ape man, that locked gate. Don't go away.
Oh, there you are, Sherlock.
Oh, don't pick on me. I was only 3.5 years old.
I'm upset with you, Sherlock. You oughtn't to be running around the halls like this.
Well, huh? A guy's got to have his constitutional, Brazo.
Yeah, well, you're through with yours. The doc wants to examine you now.
I've changed my mind. I don't think I'd like it here.
I said the doc wants you. What the doc wants, he gets.
Well, bully for him, but this is one time he won't. I'm leaving.
I don't want to break your arm, Sherlock.
No?
So you don't leave until the doc says so.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint him, but certain things are necessary, like this.
Oh.
Now, you shouldn't act like that. I might get mad.
Oh, my knuckles. What is your jaw made of, concrete?
Come on, Sherlock. Or do you want to try again?
No, thanks. One busted hand is enough.
And don't try to run. The gate's locked. And if I have to catch you, I'll fix your legs so you can't run again.
Oh, friendly little butcher, aren't you?
Right in here, Sherlock. The doc is waiting. Here he is, Doc.
Good. You can go back to the office, Brazo. I won't need you. Well, you seem to be well-trained as a detective, Mr. Holmes. Do you always pick locks so easily?
I do better with my erector set. But you needn't examine me further. I've changed my mind.
You've changed your... This is odd. First you demand in, now you want out.
I just remembered I forgot to pick up my station wagon.
But the Indians, you want me to help you keep them from stealing your ice cream cones, don't you?
They already got them, and all my money, too. They're both gone.
Your money? Then you don't have any money?
Not a bolivar. Now, may I go, Doctor?
You're going to stay right here, Mr. Holmes. There's something peculiar about the way you've recovered from your illusions.
Doc, Miss Jason to see you. She's in your office.
Very well, Brazo. Stay here and guard this man, whoever he is.
Holmes, H-O-L...
Will you shut up? And make sure he stays put this time, Brazo. I've some questions I want to ask him.
He won't go no place, Doc. You go ahead to the office.
Well, Carol... This is a pleasant surprise. Come to visit Jason.
Thorne, our plans will have to be changed.
Changed?
Something has come up that may cause an investigation of stepfather's illness. We can't afford to take a chance of that.
But we can't let Jason go now.
I had no such intentions. He must be taken care of tonight.
Taken care of? But that's impossible. How could
He must be gotten rid of.
What? Oh, no. No, I didn't bargain for murder.
Look, Thorne, you're in and you stay in. I've paid you $10,000. Don't forget it.
But why all this sudden rush to change our plan? Why can't we...
A private detective came to see me this morning. He was hired by stepfather. I knew he had suspicions, but I didn't know they'd gone so far.
A detective?
Oh, he can't act legally, but he's the sort to cause trouble.
Detective, private detective, Sherlock Holmes.
What are you rambling about?
I'm afraid we're in serious trouble. Come with me.
What?
Your private detective. I think he's already found Jason. Come on.
You wouldn't like to earn $100, would you, Brazo?
No.
It is you, Diamond.
Uh-oh, fun's over.
Thorne, you fool, how'd he get in here?
He said he was a patient, Carol, and I swear he seemed crazy enough.
He probably said he had money.
You seem to understand each other, honey, but do you mind? I'd like to take Mr. Jason home
now.
For
a couple of extra dollars, you let him walk right in. Oh, Thorne, you're an idiot. I suppose he found Jason and talked to him.
Well, he did get out of his room and wander about.
Oh, that's great. So now he knows the whole works.
Too bad, baby. Your plan is kaput.
Not quite, Diamond. You've just talked yourself into real trouble. This gun says for you not to get any bright ideas.
My IQ just dropped 30 points.
Shut him up, Brazo.
Sure.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Oh! Now, stay with him while Thorne and I make arrangements. We won't be long.
Did I get the...
Yes, Brazo, when we're ready. Yeah. Come on, Thorne. I want to talk to stepfather.
Brazo's fist was made of the same stuff as his jaw. By the time I came around, darkness had painted the window, and the room was full of shadow and Brazo. The big hulk was squatting a few feet away, paying no attention to me. So I waited till my mind was clear while I eased off my right shoe. The heel was leather with a steel plate in it. I could only hope it was harder than Brazo's skull. With the shoe in my hand behind me, I was ready. Only to have him catch me stirring.
Coming too, Shamus?
Yeah, hand me my cigarettes, will you, Brazo?
Need a smoke, huh? Sure. Where are they?
Fell out of my pocket over there behind you.
Where? I don't see you. Say, that's not...
Need another?
Stop that.
Oh, come on, Buster. Fall. Well, is little old Brazo finally getting sleepy?
Happy New Year, Buster. Levinson, homicide.
Walt, Rick, if you don't want me to be a customer of yours, get out to the home sweet home rest home fast.
What? Hey, what kind of a gag is this now?
It's no gag, believe me. My client and I are the blue plate specials, and dinner is about to be served.
The home sweet... Oh, it still sounds like a gag. Who'd call anything that?
Now, don't argue, Walt. It's no joke.
Okay, Rick, what's the address?
1820 Allerton Avenue, Baychester. And bring a blowtorch to cut an iron gate. You may have to.
All right, I'll be there in 30 minutes.
Quicker, if you can.
Stand right there, Diamond. Or I'll use this gun.
Good afternoon. I represent the Sleep
Tight...
Looks
like I came just in time. Only now that you've fixed Brazo, you have to dig your own grave.
Dig my own grave? Oh, honey, is this trip really necessary?
Keep moving or I'll kill you right here.
I move.
Keep going. Over there behind those trees where Thorne and Jason are.
Well, is Jason...
He's alive, but not for long.
Where's Brazo? I thought he was going to...
Diamond knocked him out. They can dig their own graves. There, the shovels. Get busy.
Carol, please, you may have the money. I swear...
Shut up and dig.
Carol, this is...
Just work the shovel.
Can you imagine Richard Diamond, private detective, letting a sawed-off female make him dig his own grave? You can't? Well, she did. And for a good half hour. I stalled as long as I could to give Walt Levinson the chance to get there.
That's enough. I said that's deep enough.
Oh, please. I'm just started.
You're finished. Jason, get into that hole with him.
Very well. I guess this is it, Diamond. I'm sorry to have dragged you in.
Well, that's a horrible way to say it. Don't we get time for a last cigarette?
No. Thorne, take this gun.
What? Oh, no, I'm not going to kill them.
Shut up and take this gun.
Oh, don't do it, Thorne. Be a man about it.
Here, Thorne. Don't be such a weakling. Two shots and it's over.
No. It was your idea. I'm no murderer.
Shut up, boy. Stick up for your rights.
You shut up. Thorne, do you do the job or do I make you number three in that grave?
You wouldn't dare. You need me.
Shut up, boy, Thorne. Tell her.
Go on, Thorne. Take the gun.
No, I can't. I just can't. Not like this.
You weakling. I'll do it myself. Now, turn around, Diamond.
Oh, now, look, baby. This thing's getting out of hand. You shoot me and the law will be all over the place.
Not until I've filled that grave in over you.
I called him, baby.
Oh, you're lying.
Am I? Well, just turn around and take a look at that lovely, big, fat policeman standing over there by that tree.
Oh, you really don't expect me to fall for an old stunt like that.
Well, if you don't, you'll fall for something. It's your funeral.
No, it isn't. It's yours.
All right, lady, drop it.
What? Why, you...
Smarty.
I'll kill you anyway.
Carol.
Rick, what the devil's going on here? What are you doing down there?
I'm looking at the girl. I think you shot her pretty bad.
Who are these two guys?
The guy with the castanet knees is Doc Thorne. Better put the cuffs on him as an accessory.
But you can't do this. I was the one that refused to shoot you.
Oh, stop licking my hand. You can tell it to the precinct judge.
Otis, snap the cuffs on him and take him out the car.
Sure.
Come on, you.
Now, what about this other guy?
The girl's stepfather. How do you feel, Mr. Jason?
Sick, Mr. Diamond.
How about the girl, Rick? Shall I call the ambulance?
I don't know. Carol.
Well, Rick?
Take your time, Walt. She's not with us. I gave Walt the story, then took Jason to his house. Stayed there long enough to brush the dirt off my clothes, wash my hands, and then I headed for a delayed date. At 975 Park Avenue, I found a big fireplace and a lovely redhead waiting for me. A redhead wearing a dress that was part green silk and part... Well.
I'm the library, darling. Come on in.
Hello, Helen, baby. You sound like you found oil in the basement. What's with the cheer? Me?
Isn't it always? I like you.
I like the way you say that. Looking up at me with those big green eyes.
They're not green. They're hazel.
Oh, are they? Let me look closer.
Not until you sing for me.
Sing? Oh, honey, I'm tired. I want to rest.
No, you don't. No, over to the piano. Rick, not here.
But, Helen, all I wanted to do was...
I know, Rick.
Oh, you've been using that Ouija board again. I don't want to sing.
Now look in my eyes.
Close range?
Contact.
I'll sing.
That's better.
Like, You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby?
I love it.
You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a wonderful child when you were only starting to go to kindergarten. I bet you drove the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby. 'Cause, baby, look at you now. Like that?
That was wonderful, Rick. Come here.
About time.
Oh, Rick. Do you think you can do that and sing, too?
Honey, when you look at me like that, I could kiss you, sing, and knit a whole sweater at the same time.
Rick, could you?
Want to try?
The sweater will take years.
I'll buy that. Come here, we'll start with the neck.
Rick.
You know something?
What?
I may even knit you a whole suit.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Hi Averback, Betty Moran, Howard McNear, Edwin Max, and Jay Novello. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Tonight's story was written by Herb Purdom and edited and directed by Blake Edwards. Portions were transcribed. Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. How much is your life worth? Think about that for a minute. Is it worth a little care? Well, that's all that's needed to protect it on America's streets and highways. Only your careful driving and your acceptance of personal responsibility for your own life can guard you from the dangers of the road. The price that you may pay for carelessness is a high one, and it's a price that thousands upon thousands of accident victims have already paid. Their gamble with death behind the wheel is a stark warning. A warning that an accident can happen to you. Last year alone, some 32,000 persons were killed in traffic accidents, and well over a million others were injured. Smash-ups have averaged more than one a minute, every minute of the day and night. These are the facts of traffic dangers. As for the facts of traffic safety, well, they all boil down to just two facts. Careful driving by automobile owners, careful walking by pedestrians. So drive carefully, walk carefully. The care you take may save a life, and that life may be your own. Saturday night is packed with entertainment when you stay tuned to NBC's star lineup of shows. Each Saturday, make it a point to listen to NBC. You'll hear Hollywood Star Theater, Ralph Edwards' Truth or Consequences, Your Hit Parade, A Day in the Life of Dennis Day, The Judy Canova Show, Grand Old Opry, and songs by Morton Downey. Now, stay tuned for Lionel Barrymore and Hollywood Star Theater on NBC. Portions of the following program are transcribed. Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Yep, door's open.
Mr. Diamond.
Well, Angelino, come in.
I didn't know whether you were busy or not.
If you didn't hear the drums, you know I'm not busy.
Drums, Mr. Diamond?
It's sort of a ritual, Angie. Every time I get a paying client, my landlord offers up his thanks to the goddess of joy. Plays an old bongo and turns on the heat as a kind of sacrifice.
I see.
Oh, no, you don't. You're too normal. What's the trouble, Angelino? The pig's knuckles in your butcher shop got arthritis?
You're always with the kidding, Mr. Diamond.
Yeah, that's the kind of a hairpin I am.
Hairpin?
Angie, you got something on your mind. Forget my little asides and let's have it.
I got the big problem, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, you mean something's wrong and you can't pay me to take care of it?
Oh, no, I can pay.
Oh, well, then you haven't got a problem. You slip me the cash and I'll move in on your worries.
Well, you see, it's like this. I come to you as a sort of representative for all the other butcher shops, the independent ones. I ain't the only one that's worried. So all the butchers got together last night and decided to do something about it.
I hate to be a nag, but do something about what?
We all been paying money to a protective association.
Oh?
Yeah, every week a couple of guys come around and collect. If we don't pay, we get our shops busted up. And if that ain't enough, we get our heads busted too. See, I still got 3 stitches right here on the top of my head.
Wow. Nice job. What'd the doctor use? A loom?
I got these last week when those 2 guys come for the money. I couldn't pay, so one of them hit me with a blackjack.
You're lucky he didn't use one of your salamis. Might have been a job for homicide.
He knocked me out when I come to. My shop was a mess. There was a note saying that they'd be back.
Well, you better go to the law, Angelino. They'll give you good protection and won't cost you a thing.
We discussed that at the meeting, but we decided it was too dangerous. We've been warned that if we go to the police, we'll get hurt bad. We got the families, Mr. Diamond. We can't take the chance.
Yeah. Tell me, have these 2 Goniffs been back to see you?
Goniffs?
Oh, Angie, you're going to be a lot of trouble. Goniffs, hoods.
Hoods?
Gangsters, bad little boys.
Oh, no, they ain't been back. Not yet.
Well, for you or Rockefeller, my fee's the same, Angelino. 100 clams, dollars a day in expenses.
We took up a collection. I only got $100.
Oh, why does this always happen to me? I'm going to end up making Simon Legree look like Snow White. You only got 100, huh?
Yeah, but we thought of something. If it costs more, you can take it out in trade at any of the butcher shops.
Well, it's liable to run into a lot of ham hocks.
It's the only way we can pay you.
So I'll throw a barbecue. Let's go, Angelino.
Where do we go?
Well, you and the rest of the butchers have not only hired yourselves a private detective, but you've got a new addition in the butcher's union.
You mean you...
Yeah. Come on. I want you to show me how to carve a lox. Well, that's what happens when your reputation gets around to the butcher shops. I'd been buying cold cuts from Giuseppe Angelino for the past 2 years and telling him what a great detective I was. I should have known he'd never take my word for it, so now I had to prove it. His shop was over on 10th Avenue, so we walked over and went in. He took me around behind the counter and handed me a white apron.
I don't get it. Why you want to be a butcher?
Well, Angie, you want me to get a line on these 2 guys who do the collecting, don't you?
Sure.
Well, I can only think of 2 ways I could watch them and not look suspicious. Make like a butcher or crawl in with the ground round.
Huh?
Think what would happen if someone looked down for the price of ground round and caught it staring back at them.
Oh, that's a good one. That's pretty good.
Oh, now, come on, Angie. It wasn't that funny.
You got my 100 bucks, ain't you? It's a riot.
Yeah. Well, come on, let's... Show me what happens with this butcher racket.
Customer. I'll show you later.
Well, nothing like learning fast. Let me handle the sale.
Think you can?
Here she comes.
Good morning, Mrs. Hennessy.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Angelino. Business must be good. I see you have a new butcher.
Yes. This is a Mr.
Hangtooth.
Hangtooth?
Hangtooth.
Good morning, Mrs. Hennessy. Something I can do for you?
Oh. Yes. How much is the lamb shoulder today?
Which one?
What?
Look, maybe you better let me...
Relax, Angie, I'll make it. Which shoulder would you like, Mrs. Hennessy?
Well, is there any difference, young man?
Oh, yes. You see, this lamb is really a ram.
A ram?
Oh, sure, yeah. Hurt his shoulder playing against the Eagles 2 weeks ago. We're also selling his shoulder pads at 21 cents a pound.
Mr. Angelino...
You'll find him hanging in the back with the spare ribs.
Now, if you can tell me which shoulder you want, I'll wrap it up and send it off tackled between the liver and the canisius.
Well, I never...
Well, of course you haven't. It's the trouble with you people. Now, here's a nice little ram that played his heart out. Oh, by the way, the heart is a special today, 11 cents a pound. Angie.
Is she gone?
Like laundry in a tornado.
What for you want to do that, Mr. Diamond? She was one of my best customers.
I wanted to get her out of here, and I wanted to get her out in a hurry.
But why do you have to do it like that? Not a lamb, a ram. Which shoulder do you want, Miss Hennessy?
Look, Angie, I'm sorry, but you can explain it to her later. Just as she came in, I spotted two guys heading this way. When they saw her, they backed off. They're standing across the street right now.
Where?
Right over there, in front of the cigar store.
Hey, one of them has got a hatchet.
No, not that one. You're looking at the Indian. Over there.
Oh, yeah. That's them. That's the two guys who hit me on the head. They're the ones who come around to do the collecting.
Well, they're coming again. You better duck. I'll take care of it.
You be careful. They're pretty rough monkeys.
Go on, I'll beat it. They're almost here.
Yeah. I'll be in the back.
One meatball. I got you under my skin. Well. Good morning, gentlemen. What can I do for you?
Where's Angelino?
Oh. Well, he's out buying some old buffalo. I'm the new assistant.
Buffalo?
Red. Shut up. And get your hand out of the pickles. All right, now tell me, new assistant, when'll he be back?
Well, that's hard to say. These buffalo are in Wyoming.
Oh, yeah. Carl, you know I think this guy's trying to be funny.
You win yourself a lamb chop. All you have it, with or without the bloomers.
You know something, Red? I think you're right. What's your name, laughing boy?
Hangtooth.
Hangtooth?
Oh, I'm going to have more fun with that. It throws everybody.
Well, look, Hangtooth. You know who we are.
How many guesses?
You won't even need one. We're in a hurry. We're collectors.
We put all the scraps out in the back in a can. You can't miss it.
I don't like you.
Well, I have a friend. Maybe we could double date.
Look, let's stop the clowning. If Angelina didn't tell you about us, it's going to be too bad for you. We're here for some money. We get it every week. $25.
Yeah. Last week, Angelino didn't have it, so he accidentally hit his head. We figured that all that blood would make him remember it this week.
Well, I'm sorry, friend, but Angie didn't say anything about it. Tell me, what does he pay you boys for?
Oh, little things. Protection, mostly. You see, if he paid us last week, he wouldn't have hit his head.
You know something? I know a big, fat cop who would just love to hear all about this protection Angie's paying you for.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I do, huh?
Well, look, seeing as how you're a new boy around here, maybe we ought to tell you first.
Why don't you do that?
Let's go on the back.
I like it here. I listen better.
You do, huh?
Is that all you guys can say? Now get out from behind that counter.
Oh, I want to explain the thing to you.
Yeah, go on, Red. Explain it to Mr. Hangtooth.
Hangtooth.
You'll have to pardon him. He don't hear so well. How's your hearing, Hangtooth?
Depends on what I'm listening to. If it's dull, I might end up with an ear trumpet.
You might end up with one whether it's dull or not. Now, seeing as how you're working for Angelino, you're going to need protection, too. So let's have the $25.
I want to know what I'm buying.
Sure. Here.
Oh, now, don't you know it isn't nice to go around breaking up showcases, and especially with that nasty old sap?
Well, you never know when things are going to get busted, see? Now, don't you think you need protection, Mr. Hangtooth?
Tell you what I'll do. I'll pay you for protection if you'll pay me.
Pay you? For what?
Well, you never know when things are going to get busted. Like your jaw, maybe.
Why, you...
Hey, Carl, help me.
Yeah, sure I'll help. This looks like my head-breaking day.
Cut his legs.
All right, hold him. I'll tap him good.
Give it to him again.
Oh, he's a rough one, ain't he?
Yeah, kick me in the mouth, will you?
Hey, Red, let me try that, huh? Hang to turn such a pretty color when you kick him like that.
He's out. You think he gets the idea?
Maybe not right now, but when he wakes up, he's going to have a sore head to remind him. Come on, we'll come back for Angelino later.
Well, you can't really blame brave little old me for going to sleep at that point. One, I could have handled, but in that
cramped space behind the counter, with both of them coming from different directions, I had to give up sooner or later. And I did for about 20 minutes. When I finally snapped out of it, I looked up and saw three heads staring down at me. Two herring with Angelino in the middle.
You all right, Mr. Diamond?
Oh, Angie, do you always ask people that right after they've lost their blood?
Here, let me help you get up.
Oh. Oh, swell. Now, look for my eyes, will you?
I didn't know what to do. I guess I should have called the police.
Oh, why, Angie, you're really beginning to think for a change. Oh, let me sit down.
But when I thought about calling the police, I also thought about my family. Those two men might have beat up my family just like this.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You take the $100, Mr. Diamond, and forget about this. It's too dangerous. When they come back, I'll pay them the money and nobody gets hurt.
Look, I can understand why you're scared, Angie. Those two headhunters aren't kidding, but you can't let them get away with it.
I can, and I will. I ain't taking no more chances. First, they bust up my shop, then they bust... No, thanks. I've had enough.
Okay, Angie. Here's the $100.
No, that's yours.
And then say it's a present. Buy yourself some new glass for the counter.
What are you going to do?
Well, now I got no obligation, Angelino. Just a sore face and a nasty disposition. I won't get back to normal until I find those two guys and tie their necks in a bow. I left Angelino's shop and headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station. I wanted to look up two sure bets for the police gallery. One named Carl, the other Red. Two guys who went around scaring poor little businessmen like Angelino. By the time I reached the station, the aches from the beating were making me very unhappy, and when I walked into the squad room, I spotted something that didn't make things any better.
Yeah, what are you... Holy cow, Diamond.
Well, Otis, I'm glad you noticed. It means I put myself together all right. What's the matter with your voice?
I got a cold.
Sounds like you swallowed a rattlesnake.
Yeah? Well, what happened to you?
Oh, don't be silly. I always bleed just before lunch.
Yeah, how'd it happen?
It wasn't easy. Is the lieutenant in?
Sure, go ahead.
Thanks. Say, Otis, when are you going to start shaving in the morning?
Why? What's wrong?
Your 5 o'clock shadow is 4 hours fast.
Oh.
Hello, Walt.
Now you listen to me. Wow!
You like it?
What hit you?
Wait till the bruises show up. I come on in Technicolor.
Someone sure did a good job.
And that someone is two guys, one named Red and the other Carl.
Red, then Carl.
Yeah. I got closest to Red. Name matches the hair, busted nose, about 190, and very nasty with a sap.
And Carl?
Dark, greasy. Well-dressed, if you like the type. Big boy with a scar under his right eye.
You sure pick them.
You know them?
Yeah, I think so. Here's one of them.
Let's see. Yeah, you are so right. This is sweet little Carl, all right.
Carl Tate, sort of a new boy, imports from Chicago. Here's the other one.
Yeah? Yeah, that's Red.
Yeah, they work together, a couple of muscle men.
Red Dillon. Arrests all over the place. One conviction, assault with a deadly weapon.
What'd they go after you for?
They've been pulling a protection racket on some of the independent butcher shops. Who do they work for?
They used to work for Jack Arnold before he got sent up.
Well, I know they're not working this setup alone. It's too big.
No, they wouldn't be. Hey, Tiny Easter's in town.
Tiny Easter? Oh, used to be Arno's right-hand boy.
That's right. Came in about a month ago. I'd love to get something on him. Nobody has ever been able to nail him.
Well, it adds up. He used to work for Arno, so did Carl Tate and Red Dillon.
Now, if we can't pick him up just because two of his boys worked you over, I'd just say they weren't his boys.
I don't want him picked up. I want Carl and Red. If Easter goes along with the deal, you can have him.
And what are you going to do?
Get cleaned up and pay Mr. Tiny Easter a visit. What's his address?
Well, he's got an office on East 48th Street, 804.
Thanks, Walt.
Tiny's a bad boy.
Well, I'll take along my .38 just in case I have to spank him.
Bye.
I left Walt, went back to my office, took a clean shirt out of the closet and washed up. I locked up again, went down to the street, grabbed a cab. 20 minutes later, I was standing in the reception room of Tiny Easter's office. A big guy with a bulge under his arm was trying to be as unreceptive as possible.
So you want to see Easter? You got an appointment?
No, I haven't got an appointment. Now tell Easter I'm out here.
What's your name?
You're going to get hung up on this.
What do you mean?
The name's Hangtooth.
Huh?
Yeah, you see? I make like an office boy and tell Easter I got a message for him from Kyle and Red.
You're a pretty fresh guy, ain't you?
Yeah, and I'm going to spoil if I have to stand around much longer.
You can spoil rotten for all I care. You ain't going to see Easter. He's busy.
Okay. You know, you get so excited, you'll ruin your stomach someday.
I don't think so.
You don't, huh? Skeptic.
What do you want?
I'm collecting scalps.
Well, good for you. How'd you get by Lefty?
He's tied up with a stomach ache. Swallowed a fist.
All right, so you got muscles. Also, you got a pushed-in face. Lefty do that?
Kyle Tate and his blood brother, Red.
Oh? What'd you come to me for?
They're working for you, auntie.
You smell like a cop.
Name's Hangtooth.
I doubt it.
Good for you. I'd hate to go through that again. I'm a private cop.
Why, not good for you?
I was in a butcher shop when your two boys wandered in and started playing squash with me. I don't like to get pushed around Easter. And I don't like your racket. I want Kyle and Red. And if I get you along with them, the state will hang a medal on me.
Looks like you kind of got nothing to lose.
Look at it any way you like. Now, what about your two playmates?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Seamus. I never heard of those two guys.
I don't think you understand, Tiny. I'm pretty mad. I'm going to find these two guys, and I'm going to do it even if I have to be unpleasant with you.
Why, Mr. Hangtooth, what do you mean by unpleasant?
You break a leg, that's unpleasant.
Oh? Well, I got something in this drawer might change your mind.
Yeah?
Oh, my hand.
Okay, a busted hand. Unpleasant enough?
Take your foot away, you... You're breaking it in two.
Drop the gun in the drawer. Okay.
Howie.
Now, let me explain it again. If you go out and shoot 12 people tomorrow, I'm going to be sore about it. But when you start intimidating a bunch of hard-working little guys and their families, I go off like a skyrocket. Then when a couple of your cheap gunsels push me around, I explode.
Look, friend, I tell you, I don't know these guys.
Look, Easter... Please believe me.
I don't know.
You worked with him in Chicago. I'm telling you the truth, Easter. I'll work you over like an eggplant in a subway.
Look, whatever your name is, I got boys. They'll take care of you.
Who's going to tell them to do it?
I am.
With your mouth swollen shut? Now, where do I find Carl and Red?
Golly, you knocked one of my teeth loose.
Then I got 31 to go. I guess you really don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, friend, I understand.
Now, where are they? You still need some encouragement?
No, that's all right. They're in a warehouse. By the 14th Street docks.
What warehouse?
Rogers and Sons. Big sign on the top.
Mind if I use your phone?
Yeah, go ahead. By all means.
Don't you know it's not polite to listen, Easter?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Go to sleep.
Homicide, Lieutenant Levinson.
Walt, Rick, I'm up at Easter's.
He let you use the phone?
Yeah, he's asleep. I'm going down to Rogers' warehouse near the 14th Street docks. Kyle and Red are down there. May need some help.
I'll be right down.
You better hop down here to Easter's and pick him up first.
On what charge?
I'll give you a charge after I see Red and Kyle. Now step on it.
But...
Contact. I left Easter's office looking like a second-class rest home and headed for the warehouse on 14th Street. It was getting late in the afternoon when my cab pulled up near the river and I got out. A cold breeze was kicking up little patches of white on the water, and a light fog was moving in from the Atlantic as I started toward a big building with a sign on the top that read, Rogers and Sons, Importing. The place was boarded up, but a window in the basement showed signs of recent use, so I jimmied it open and dropped down on the dark, cold pavement. I held my breath and listened. There was a radio playing from somewhere in the front of the building, so I started moving toward it. I went up a flight of stairs and onto the first floor. The radio was louder now, and I could make out an office door with a small light shining under the crack at the bottom. I moved up close and listened.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah?
shut off the radio.
Okay.
What do we have to hide out in here for?
Because Easter said to. Besides, we don't know who that guy was we worked over this morning. He might have been a cop.
So he was a cop. We worked cops over before.
Look, Easter said we should stay undercover for a few days, so we stay undercover. All right, now deal of cards.
Oh.
Off the top.
Get it, that's probably Easter.
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. What? He did, huh? Hey, what's the matter? Boss.
What's going on?
I don't know. That was Easter. The guy we worked over was in his office, pushed him around, and now that guy's headed down here.
We can handle him.
Sure, but something's wrong. Just as Easter was going to say what to do, it sounded like he got into a fight. I heard some guy tell him to drop the phone.
Hey, the cops.
Yeah. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, boys.
Hangtooth.
Hagtooth.
Come back here, Carl.
Help me.
You shouldn't have pulled a gun, Red.
Since when do you butchers carry rods?
Since we get pushed around by guys like you. I'm going to go get your friend.
You can't leave me. I'm shot bad.
I can't take it back. The law will be here in a minute.
You're a lousy butcher. I hope Carl pays you good.
I'll see he gets a chance to try. I left Red lying on his face and ran toward the front of the building. The only way out was that window in the back, and Carl was sure to be hiding somewhere in the dark, hoping to get around me and head for the basement. There were a dozen places to hide in that warehouse, but I had one advantage. He couldn't see me any better than I could see him. I backed up against the wall.
Come on, Carl. Red's hurt pretty bad, and the law's on the way. You gotta get me to get out of here.
He was behind a pile of packing cases and had a big gun just to make things suffer. I eased along the wall, trying to get behind him when I suddenly bumped into something. I turned around and felt to see what it was. A ladder, straight up to the steel beams overhead. I put my gun under my arm and started up the rungs. It was tough climbing like that, trying not to make a sound and knowing all the time if he spotted me, I was an easy target. About halfway up, I stopped, held on with one hand, took off my shoe with the other. The idea was to drop the shoe, draw his fire, and nail him before he found out where I was. I dropped the shoe.
Okay, only take it easy. I can't see nothing, Lieutenant.
You can't say nothing either. Shut up. You sound awful.
Oh.
Rick. Rick.
Walt.
I hear him, Lieutenant. Hey. Huh? Here's some guy that's been shot.
Now, Diamond's been around here, all right. Rick.
Here, Walt. Up here.
What? Where the devil are you?
Up here on this ladder.
There he is, Lieutenant. See where my flash is.
Now, what are you doing up there?
I had to get Carl Tate. He's over there behind those crates. Now get me down.
Well, why don't you climb down?
Walt, not in front of Otis.
Oh, I forgot. Otis, go outside and call the fire department.
Fire department?
Yes, and tell him to bring a net.
What?
Will you get a move on?
Oh, okay.
Rick.
Yeah? Now you stop that!
Oh, okay. But it's so seldom that I ever get a good laugh at your expense.
Okay. But you know this is a serious thing with me. How far up am I?
I'd say about 40 feet.
Oh.
Now, take it easy. Just don't look down.
Walt.
Yeah?
Promise me something?
I won't tell Otis. I'll say you got stuck up there.
Thanks.
What did you go up there for, anyway?
I told you. I had to get Carl Tate. I just didn't think until I was up.
Imagine a guy who shoots it out with two of the toughest torpedoes in town having a horrible fear of heights. Boy, if that isn't one for the books. You know, I'll never forget the time that little blonde trapeze artist got stuck.
Walt?
Yeah?
I hate you.
Thank you.
Rick.
Hmm?
How's your face?
Fine. How's yours?
Now you stop that.
Oh, nice and soft.
Rick.
What's the matter? I'm just nuzzling a little.
Just nuzzling a lot. You want to nuzzle? You got to sing.
Oh, no.
No nuzzling.
Oh, yeah.
No sing, no nuzzle.
Fiend.
Piker.
Just a real nuzzle?
I think you're after my earrings. No.
If I sing?
Yes.
I was ready.
I was listening.
I will remember you in the silent and lonely night, and the memory of your smile will bring me back the light. I will remember you when the leaves lie upon the ground, with the memory of a kiss, a kiss in summer found. When the winds of winter come crying through the darkness, your lovely voice will come to me. Even though in spirit across the miles that part us, crying I love you, I will remember you till the spring of another year, till I hold you close again, I will remember.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, now what?
I just remembered. I got a surprise for you.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Got a new television set. Now you can watch the fights.
Well, great. Where is it?
In the den. But first you've got to do one thing for me.
What's that?
Well, the reception isn't very good yet. I called the repairman, but he said to check the aerial. He can't come over until tomorrow.
I'll fix it. Where is it?
On the roof.
The roof?
But be careful. You've got to climb a ladder to get to it. What's the matter?
Look, Helen, wouldn't you rather...
Fix the aerial first.
First?
First.
Oh.
Whom are you calling?
Hello, operator. Give me the fire department.
You've just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Nestor Pima, Paul Fries, and David Ellis. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written and directed by Blake Edwards. Portions were transcribed. Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Eddie King with an important reminder. Richard Diamond will next be heard on Sundays, 1 week from tomorrow. Remember, Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell, will next be heard on Sundays, beginning January 15th. Consult your local paper for time of broadcast. What's on NBC tomorrow? The hilarious Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. And for mystery, Sam Spade, directly following Phil and Alice. Next, Hollywood Star Theater with Dorothy L'Amour on NBC.
Thanks for joining us for 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. We always appreciate reviews and comments at Spotify. We bring new episodes every Sunday at noon Eastern Time and Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Until next time, everyone, stay safe, and we'll be back soon.